We're going to look at verses 9 through 10. Give you a moment to find it. If you hadn't found it, just look up. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, let's start in verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou would bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, that thine hand might be with me, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it might not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. Read that last part again. And God granted him that which he requested. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You can't have it if you don't ask for it." Amen. Father God, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the anointing that is on your word. God, I ask you now, Lord, as we enter into this time to hear your word today, that you would help us all, God, to open up our hearts and open up our minds. God, that we can receive from you what you would have for us to. God, I ask you to anoint these lips of clay, God, that I can speak to your people today, your word. God, we'll be sure to give you all praise for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. I want to preach to you this morning on the topic, taking off the limits. Taking off the limits. You see, in the society that we live in, people that try to do extraordinary things are met with opposition. You know, when you ever tried to do something that is out of the normal or something that would really benefit people, you're always going to have the naysayers. You're always going to have the people to tell you that you can't do it. And you're always going to have the people to tell you why you shouldn't do it and why you shouldn't step out on faith and why you shouldn't trust God and why you shouldn't forgive them and why you shouldn't open up your arms to them. But if you always listen to the naysayers, you will never do anything extraordinary. Why? Because the thing about people that are stuck in ordinary is it makes them realize that they could do more when somebody else does more. So they want to discourage anybody from doing more because it actually turns the spotlight on them. Just like if you say you want to get in better shape, there's somebody over here that's about 50 pounds overweight. It's going to say, "Well, it ain't going to last long. You're going to get tired of doing that." Why? Because when you're trying to get healthier, it throws the light on them that maybe they could get healthier. Y'all with me? I know it's past the holidays and everybody put on that holiday weight, but we need to get it off. Amen. Your heart will thank you. Your blood pressure will thank you. Amen. The statement most commonly used against people, though, is that you have to know your own limitations. Anybody ever heard that before? You got to know your limitations. You got to know these. And what they are really saying is they feel that you only have the ability to do so much, and that things are beyond that are out of your reach. There are people out there that don't have the faith in you that God has in you. How many of you know we preach a lot of times about having faith in God, but do you know that God has faith in you? He called you. He created you for a purpose. And even when we fall flat on our face, even when we mess it up, even when we just totally blow it, God still believes in us. It is not God that gives up on us. It is people that gives up on us, because God will never give up on you. The Bible teaches us that God says, "Even if you make your bed in hell, I'm still there with you." God will never give up on you. God has faith in you to know that you can do everything that he puts in your heart to do. But there are people out there that will try to discourage you from doing that. But you don't have to listen to people. People will say, "Because you don't have the proper training, you can't do this," or "Because you have done these things, it disqualifies you." But what they are doing is placing limits on our lives. And if we aren't careful, we will adapt our lives to living within the limitations that man has placed on us. We got to be careful. There's people out there, "Oh, you can't do this and you can't do that." And if we listen to it long enough, we'll get to the place in our lives that we feel like that's the truth. You know, it's like if you leave a dog on a chain for too long, you can go take the chain off the dog and the dog will still stay there because he's so used to being there. That's like people that put you down and people that run you down and people that talk bad about you. If you listen to it long enough, you'll begin to believe that yourself. If somebody tells you you're not good enough or you can't do this and you can't do that and you continue to let that go into your mind. Why? Because the Bible teaches us as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So in short version, think is. If you think about it and you take it into your mind, you will eventually become what you allow in your mind all the time. Amen. Y'all okay? People are placing limits on us, and we got to be careful not to adapt to the limits that people place on you. One of the things that gets me is when people tell me I can't, I will break my neck to show them I can. I can't stand for somebody to say I can't. You can't do that and you can't do this. I was like, I will show you. Let's move on. If y'all are not competitive like that, I'm sorry. But I'm like that. Don't tell me I can't, because I will show you if it kills me. Amen. But we must understand something. We serve a limitless God who has limitless power and limitless resources. Do you think when God calls you to do something that he's worried about how you're going to pay for it? He's worried about how you're going to accomplish it. We serve a God with limitless resources, limitless power, but yet we're over here worrying about the limitations that man puts on us when God calls us. But when God calls you to do something, like I told you last week, when you step out on faith, believing what God called you to do, God's got the check. God's got the bill. We got to stop worrying and missing out on God because we're trying to get it all to add up on paper, because faith does not work like that. If you can add it up on paper, it's not faith. Faith is when you believe in God. If you don't do it, it's not going to happen. But I trust you enough to step out on your word. I trust you enough to step out on faith. I trust enough that I heard what you said and you're going to take care of it. That's what God's looking for. For years, people have preached and proclaimed that we need to take the limits off God. You ever heard that preached? Oh, take the limits off God. We got to get the limits off God. But I just told you, God is limitless. So if there are any limits that are in place, it's because they're on us. God is limitless. Instead of saying we need to take the limits off God, we need to look in the mirror and say, I'm taking the limits off of me. I'm taking the limits off of this church. I'm taking the limits off of what people have said. I'm taking everything off because I serve a limitless God. And people preach and proclaim, oh, this year we're taking the limits off God. God don't have limits. You know, nobody has the power to put limits on God. Hello? Nobody has the power to put limits on God. Even the devil don't. That's why God still lets the devil in his presence. Why? Because the devil's not God's enemy. Woo. How do you know that, preacher? The devil's not God's enemy. Why does the Bible say your adversary, the devil? Does it say God's adversary? No, the devil's not God's enemy. Why? Because he's not a worthy opponent. Whew. My God. That's why God's all right with somebody that tried to overthrow his kingdom. God said, you can come on in. You don't scare me. I'm not intimidated by you. That's the kind of God that we serve. That's the kind of, you know, if somebody's trying to do you wrong, I don't want to be around them. They're going to stab me in the back. God don't even care about that. God says, you ain't got the power to do nothing. So that's why the devil's not even God's enemy. The devil's our enemy. Y'all right? I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting already. We need to take the limits off of ourselves. Take the limits off of who we are and what we do, and take the limits off of our thinking. Because if we can ever get our mind open to what God has for us, then we can do extraordinary things for God. But the thing is, we hear from God, and then we turn around and talk ourselves right out of it. We talk ourselves right out of it. Let me move on. We have to make up in our minds that there's not any force on this earth that can limit us, and that we can accomplish anything and become whatever it is God has designed for our lives. It is not anything that holds us back other than self. Self will hold you back. Self will keep you bound. Your mind will keep you bound. Your thoughts will keep you bound. Holding on to your past will keep you bound. We serve a God that is limitless. So if there's any limitations, they come from us. I'm trying to get that home to you this morning. God is limitless, and we were created in His image and His likeness. We read over that so many times, but we don't really understand what is going on. God not only created us to look like Him, He created us to act like Him. In other words, God wanted us to rule earth the same way that He rules heaven. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, get with me after service. I'll show you in the scripture, and you'll have to apologize. But God wanted us to rule earth the same way that He rules heaven, to not be ruled by anything other than God. Do you know that it is not God's desire for you to be ruled by anything other than Him? It's not His desire for people to be ruled by addiction, people to be ruled by sickness, people to be ruled by their past, people to be ruled by bitterness and hatred and things like that. You say, well, I'm not ruled by bitterness. I'm not ruled by hatred. Well, if you walk through the store and you see them and you get mad all over again, you're ruled by hatred and bitterness. Hello? How do you know that wound is still there? If you got a cut on your arm and somebody comes up and they touch it and you say, ow, guess what? It's not healed. So if you can get around a person or get around an individual or a group of people and it still hurts you, that means they have touched that and it hasn't healed yet. Oh, come on. Y'all all right? Let's move on. God is limitless. He wanted us to be just like Him. That is why Jabez sticks out so much among all the other names. You read through this and there's a whole bunch of names that you can't pronounce and I can't pronounce. Because if we tried to sound them out, we would butcher them to death. There's all these names and this list of names, and this one begat this one, and this one begat this one, and this one begat this one. Then all of a sudden it stops right in the middle of that and says, Jabez was more honorable than all his brethren. Right in the middle of these names, you are reading all these names. Then all of a sudden there are two verses that pause and tell us something about a man named Jabez. There was something so significant about this brother that God decided he didn't need to be just another name on the list. You have to ask yourself the question, do you want to live your life to be just another name on a list? Or do you want to do something for God that stands out? Do you want to be just another member on the church roll? Or do you want to do something extraordinary for God? See, there's always going to be people that want to be just a name on the list. Well, I just want to go to church, pay my tithes. I'll support the church, but don't ask me to do nothing. And all my amens are gone. I must have struck a nerve. I just want to go to church, and I don't want to be involved. Last time I got involved, I got hurt. Guess what? Limitation. Last time I trusted a pastor, he let me down. Limitation. That's why you don't have preacher religion, you have Jesus religion. Amen, because preachers come and go. Preachers will hurt you. Preachers will let you down. Amen, don't have preacher religion. Don't change churches just because the preacher left. Woo! Don't abandon your destiny just because this preacher, that was your favorite preacher, they got somebody else in and you didn't like them. Hello? Let's move on. Before I get stoned up here. You're reading all these names. Coco, you got my back? We on it. All right. We in all these names, and then all of a sudden Jabez sticks out. It says he was more honorable. Here in this line of people with this one begat this one and this one begat this one, something sticks out so significant. There's something about his life that stands out because he's not content to be just another name. He's not content to be just another Christian. He's not content to just be a pew warmer. Something about him is different. Gosh, what are we content to live with? What are we content to go through? You know that Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. But yet there are people out there that are content to live in bondage. People that are content to live in poverty. People that are content to live in failure. People that are content to live by getting beat up by their past.
people that are content to live in this state of anxiety and stress and worry all the time. But we don't have to live in that kind of state when we serve a limitless God who sent his only son to die on a cross for us, that we could be free from anything that's holding us back. So if we are sitting around bound and depressed and discouraged and disgusted and busted, whose fault is it? Ours. Ours. It's not the preacher's fault. It's not the praise team's fault. Well, I just sat there in church today like a bump on a pickle because they didn't move me. Some folks in church couldn't be moved with X-lax. And the greatest preacher in the world could get up here and preach, and folks still wouldn't move. All right. The old people's like, eat more fiber. You're good. Just kidding. Now, I'm sure Jabez had his naysayers. I'm sure he had people talking about him. I'm going to show you in a minute why we know that. He had his naysayers tell him that, oh, Jabez, you should just be content to be another name on the list like the rest of us. Why are you trying to be so different? You just trying to show off. Hello? You trying to make a name for yourself. Jabez, why don't you just be content like the rest of us? You know, there are people out there, especially people that are bound up in religion and bound up in closed-minded thinking, that they're going to want you to be just like them. I refuse to be like that. They was like, when I first got called into ministry, people said, well, whose ministry are you going to pattern your life after? Whose ministry are you going to pattern yours after? I said, Ovid's. Why? Because nobody can be Ovid but Ovid. I can be the best one there is. Guess what? You can be the best one there is. Nobody can be Cecil Jane like Cecil. Amen. Because I don't believe the world could take more than one. He keeps me humble. Why? Because I have to pray a lot. I'm just ragging on him. I love you, Brother Cecil. Hey, thank you, brother. Keep me humble. He keeps me straight. But I'm sure Jabez got talked about. I'm sure he got ridiculed for being different. I have people tell me all the time, there's like, you're not like any preacher I've ever met before. And I'm like, well, praise God. I don't take that as somebody dissing me. I take that as a compliment. Guess what? John the Baptist was not like any preacher they had met before. This brother wore camel's skins and ate locusts, and his hair was wild. He looked like a wild man. But Jesus said there was never a greater preacher that ever lived or ever would live than John the Baptist. Hey, when the Son of God says, you the man, regardless of what people say. Amen. When Jesus says, you the man, you all right. And that's what we got to look for, is the stamp of God's approval rather than running around trying to get man to validate you. You got to know that you're enough just you and God, or you'll never be enough with people. If you can't be enough right by yourself, then you'll never be enough with people. You'll never be enough with the accolades and the approval and the praises of people. You got to know that you're enough just you and God. Amen. I think sometimes that's why God lets us go through things. That when we find ourselves alone and there's nobody there but you and God, that's when you realize, hey, me and God, we can handle this. Because there ain't nothing that me and God can't handle. Nothing me and God can't handle. Now, does that mean I want trouble to come? Absolutely not. But if it does, me and God can handle it. And guess what? You and God can handle it. No matter what happens in your life, you and God can handle it. Let's move on. Jabez probably got talked about for being different, ridiculed for not doing it like everybody else. You know, when you start doing things that are against the normal, you're going to get ridiculed. When you start doing things that are against the routine of what everybody else is doing, you're going to get ridiculed. People come to me and it's like, what are y'all doing out there on the hill? And I'm like, we loving people into life. We loving people. Why? Because we got it wrong for many years in the church. We wanted to beat people over the head with our Bibles. We wanted to beat them over the head with our rules and our traditions, and then wonder why they'd be in church 3 months and they'd be gone. Why? Because we didn't teach them to fall in love with Jesus first. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. In other words, when you fall in love with Jesus, then you'll want to live right. But we wanted folks to live right, and they weren't in love with Jesus. Because what happens when you fall in love with somebody, you want to take them home with you. Oh, come on, y'all ain't that saved. When you fall in love with somebody, you want to take them home with you. And when you fall in love with Jesus, you want to take him home with you. You want him to be with you at all times. You want to talk to him all the time. Come on. You in love with somebody, you can talk to him for 3 hours on the phone. When's the last time you talked to Jesus for 3 hours? Woo! When's the last time you was like, Jesus, I don't want to go nowhere. I don't want to do anything. I just want to lay up at the house and just love on you and talk to you. Come on. Jesus desires that intimate relationship with him. He desires us to have that communion with him. He don't want a one-night stand. Woo. Let's move on. Jabez probably got talked about for being different. He was ridiculed, but not everybody went to the place that he went. You got to be okay that not everybody's going to do what you're going to do in God. Amen? Not everybody's going to get involved in service like you do. Not everybody's going to lift their hands and worship. Not everybody's going to say amen when the preacher's preaching good. Thank y'all. That was your shot. If you missed it, you just missed it. That was your chance right there. And about 6 of y'all got it. The rest of y'all, there's still hope. I'll try to give you another one. But not everybody had the experience in God that Jabez had. You know, I can't go to dead, dry church. Why? Because I've done experience God. I've done experience the power of God, the moving of God. And some people are okay with going to dry church. That's all right. That may be their thing. They're still saved. They're still going to heaven if they've accepted Jesus as their Savior. They just need to be several houses down from me. Or either the heaven's going to be rough for them because I'm going to be cutting up. There's two things I can't do here on this earth. I can't dance and I can't sing. And I've asked God when I get to heaven to let me do both of them. I'm going to be moonwalking down the streets of glory. I'm going to ask God, give me my white robe and a white glove. Y'all know who Michael Jackson is. Come on. I just don't want that high-pitched voice. I won't be able to sing like Coco. But not everybody had the experience. They're just a name on a list, but Jabez was something different, and let me show you why. Jabez's name literally means he makes sorrow. So his mother named him this because she bore him in sorrow. She had a lot of problems with him in childbirth. So she named him Jabez, which means he makes sorrow. So from his birth, he was labeled as somebody that if you come in contact with him, was going to make sorrow in your life. Jabez, his mother named him this because she bore him. Every time she called his name, she thought of how he hurt her. Think about that. Jabez means he makes sorrow. And every time she called on him, every time she called his name, she thought about how he hurt her. Let's get on down. We may talk about Jabez's mama for doing this, but are there people out there that every time you hear their name, the first thing you think about is what they did to you? Well, every time you hear their name, you're like, ooh, I can't stand that heifer. Y'all are so sanctified this morning, but I know the truth. I can't stand her. I can't stand him. Like Ruby says, ooh, you make me sick. Yeah. I get the privilege of working with Ruby 5 days a week and have to be her pastor one of those days. And she tells me at the bank all the time, oh, you make me sick. I can't stand you. I'm like, well, I don't like you either. See you at church Sunday. Yeah, I really love you, Ruby. Yeah, she wouldn't even tell me she loved me. People seeing you for who you are. But anyway, every time she called his name, she thought about how he hurt her. She thought about what he had done to her. His name was a constant reminder of what he had done. Gosh, isn't it amazing how we get in a routine of when we hear a certain person's name, all we think about is the bad they did? Somebody can get saved and preach the gospel for 20 years, And all we can think about is 21 years ago, they had a baby out of wedlock. Hello? Somebody can turn their life around and give their heart to God and be chasing after God, and instead of encouraging them, all we think about is all the bad they did. God can be using somebody mightily for the kingdom, and we want to bring up something that happened 20, 30 years ago in their life. Think about it. We're all guilty of it. We've all done that before, and when we hear somebody's name or when we talk to them, we think about the bad that they did. I could start saying names right now, and the first thing that you'd go to is what they did where they messed up. I mean, there's preachers that I could mention their name right now. Oh, he cheated on his wife. What about all the good that he's done? What about forgiveness? You see, God forgives, and we love God to forgive us. But man, we have a hard time forgiving other people when they mess up. Because we want to hold it against them. We say, well, I'm going to forgive them, but I'm not going to what? Forget it. Is that the way God does? Absolutely not. The Bible says when God forgives us of our sins, he cast them as far as the east is from the west and remembers them no more. So in other words, if you say, I forgive, but I'm not going to forget, that's not true forgiveness. Now, that does not mean that you have to grant them access into your life to hurt you anymore. Hello. God don't bless stupid. You don't have to grant them access in your life, but you can totally forgive somebody and not hold it against them anymore. Let's move on. Jabez, they every time she called his name, it was a constant reminder. But there are people today, as soon as your name is mentioned, they automatically remember what you've done in the past. They associate your name by what you've done and what you've been through. You see, Jabez was one of these guys that was labeled by his past. No matter what good he did, every time his name was mentioned, he makes sorrow. Oh, Jabez is this and this. And there are people out there, good Lord, there are people out there that every time you say something, every time that your name is mentioned, all they want to think about is the bad, no matter how much good you do. Guess what? You got to learn to be okay with that. I've preached it before, and this is just a joke, guys. This isn't scriptural. What does the Bible say? Let the redeemed of the Lord say what? So. So when somebody comes at you, what do you say? So. Y'all get that later. It's a tough crowd today. We all right. Jabez was labeled by what he had done, but you got to get a good case of being anointed with so. I call it a good case of the don't cares. Folks going to talk regardless of what you do. Let them talk. Keep winning people to Jesus. Keep winning people for the Lord. Because when we get to heaven, God's going to handle all that. God's going to handle all that. Let people fight you in everything you do. They're going to do it anyway. My Lord Jesus was the Son of God that never had one foul thing come out of his mouth, never done anything wrong, and they still talked about him. What makes us so special? Folks going to talk about you. You got to be all right with that. I'm to the point now, I'm 44 years old. I'm grown, finally. Some folks would probably differ with that statement, but as we say at the bank, I'm 3 times 7. Y'all do the math, 21, it means you're grown. I got grown. Why am I going to worry about what people do? I told my daughter the other day, when people talk about you and run you down, I was like, does their opinion put gas in your car? Does their opinion check out your groceries at Walmart? So when somebody runs you down, you got to ask yourself, how does it help me or how does it hurt me? Because I promise, if you pull up to the gas station and say, fill it up on Brother Cecil's opinion, they're going to look at you like you're crazy. Well, opinion, don't worry about what folks say. But Jabez was one that folks talked about him. They ridiculed him, but he didn't let that stop him. You got to be willing to do what God's called you to do, whether folks like it or whether folks don't like it. Let's move on. They associate you. Jabez was labeled by his past. He was labeled by what he had gone through in his life. When somebody said, here comes Jabez, they were basically saying, here comes trouble. Here comes sorrow. You better watch out for him. Don't you know what everybody's saying about him? I don't know if it's true or not, but it's just what I heard. Come on. We all guilty of that. Did you hear about that one? Now, I'm not supposed to tell nobody. I'm not supposed to repeat this, so I'm only going to say it once. Oh, y'all killing me this morning. This isn't gossip. It's a prayer request. I need you to bind with me. They told me not to say nothing, but I'm coming to you to help me pray about it. If they told you not to say nothing, don't say nothing. Life lesson 101. If you want your business to be your business, keep it to yourself. Amen. God's the person you talk to, because that's the only person you can be 100% sure that he ain't going to tell it. Okay? Jesus on the main line. Y'all about the most un-Pentecostal folks ever seen in my life this morning. Lord of mercy, the chief of police is texting me. Hey, sir, how are you? Don't you remember what Jabez has done? Don't you remember what he's done in his life? But the Bible says Jabez was more honorable than all his brethren. Now, we aren't told what made him more honorable than all of his brethren, but we're given a glimpse into it. It says Jabez was more honorable than all his brethren, and he prayed. What made him more honorable? He was a praying man. Jabez was a praying man. Do you know that you can mess things up, but if you're a praying man, you make it through. David was a guy that had some of the most horrible moral character failures. He fell in love with another man's wife. He was a peeping Tom. She was on a rooftop bathing, and David was like, David was walking by on the roof. How you doing? She was bathing on the rooftop, which I throw a little bit out on her. Why are you up on a rooftop bathing? Hello? It was hot in the house. I don't know. They didn't have air conditioning back then. David's walking by. He fell in love with another man's wife. He's like, I'm the king. Go bring her to me. Anyway, she conceived and brought forth the son and was pregnant. David's like, ooh, we got to cover this up. So David called for her husband and said, won't you come on in? And David said, come eat with me. And her husband was in the military. He said, come eat with me. Come hang out with me. He said, now you done do this. Go on home and enjoy your wife. David was going to try to pin it on him. But the Uriah was an honorable man. And he says, my men are sleeping out in the field. And they're in war and all this. I'm not going to go in and be with my wife when my men are out like this. So Uriah slept outside. He was an honorable man. So when David found out that wasn't going to work, he sent letters and says, have Uriah put on the front line where the most fiercest battle is, where he'll be killed. So David fell in love with another man's wife, caused her to commit adultery, then tried to cover it up. Watch this. Then when he couldn't cover it up, he had him killed. But David was a praying man. And that's why the Bible says, even though David had all these moral and character failures in his life, he knew how to get a hold of God. And David prayed a prayer and said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy tender mercies. Lord, he says, against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. He says, forgive me of my sins. And he goes on to pray in Psalms 51. This is the prayer that he prayed after he had been exposed for his sin with Bathsheba. He prayed, he said, Lord, above anything else, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Lord, don't take your Spirit from me. David said, I messed up. I blew it. And Jabez was considered an honorable man because he was a praying man. There's something about a man or a woman that will seek after God that God honors. God doesn't look for perfection. He doesn't look for all of your eloquent prayers. I go to events and I hear some of these cats get up and, oh, Lord of lights and of the universe, we humbly, and I'm sitting over there, would you just pray for real? They get on my nerves. Like, how many months did it take you to write that one? And they get up there and there's not a bit of sincerity in it. Y'all looking at me funny. Why? Because y'all have heard that before. But God wants to hear that prayer from your heart. Oh, God, if you don't help me, I'm not going to make it. Oh, God, I've blowed it again today. But God, I just forgive me, Lord, and help me to be strong. Oh, God, I can't even walk, God, unless you're right there with me. God, we used to sing a song in church that says, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. God, I got to have you. I'm desperate for you, Jesus. That's what God wants in our lives. I've seen people pray for 2 minutes and got in touch with God over somebody that had this fake prayer for 30 minutes. Hello? The Bible talks about a man being in the temple that goes, Lord, I thank you that I pay my tithes and that I come to the church and that I do this and I do this. And there was another sinner person over there going with his hand on his chest going, God, forgive a sinner like me. And Jesus said, which one of them did God really respond to? Somebody that humbled themselves enough to know, God, I need you. God, I need you. I don't need the accolades of people. Let people say what they want to say. Let people do what they want to do. God, I need you. God, I need you to move in my life. The Bible says Jabez was more honorable than all of his brethren. Everybody else pointed the finger at Jabez for being different. Everybody else labeled him by his mistakes and failures. But it's not what people say about you that matters. It's what you say about yourself. Gosh, there, people can say what they want to say, but don't say it about yourself. People can say you're a failure and you're a loser, but if you start saying, well, I don't care what they say, I'm a child of the King. Please, I am hard-headed enough to, I'm not going to let somebody label me. I'm going to be what God called me to be. Folks say, well, I think you're this. Well, I think you're ugly and your mama dresses you funny. Just come back at them. You say, well, what do you do when people talk about it? I don't know. I pop off back. It's a work in progress. Y'all be like, well, you're the preacher. You're supposed to give us advice. I don't know. Folks talk about you all the time. You just either have to let it go. I get ugly letters. I get inboxes on Facebook and people trashing on me. I've gotten better at not responding, though. I'd be like, ooh, did you see what they said? Michelle, like, let it go. I'm like, why did God let me marry Jimmy to the Cricket? I want to tell him off. And she's like, now you can't do that. Like, God, me and you going to have a talk when we get to heaven. If you ain't got a Jimmy to the Cricket spouse or a Jimmy to the Cricket friend, bless you. But little Miss First Lady over there keeps me straight. Everybody else pointed a finger at him. God said, but Jabez, there's something down inside of you. If you take the limits off your life, I'll pull it out of you. Do you know that you got to be willing to take the limits off and say, okay, God, here I am. Use me. God, what do you want for me to do? God, here's my life. I'm taking all the limitations off. I'm taking all the labels off. God, here I am. Use me. You see, God saw something down on the inside of Jabez that people couldn't see. You know that people can't see the greatness in you? Let me help you right now. We got to be careful that we don't label people by what's on them. Because there can be stuff on them, but still be greatness down on the inside of them. There are people out there today that are dripping in sin. There are people today that are passed out somewhere with a needle in their arm. Guess what? But there's greatness on the inside of them. But they need somebody, you and I, to look past that and see that God loves them. God has a plan for their life. And that if we will just introduce them to Jesus Christ, He can change their life. We've got to be willing to look past what folks say. We got to be willing to look past what's on somebody. Some of the greatest people out there today, some of the people that God has the greatest plans for, are bound up and dripping in sin right now. But He called us to be able to look past that and see that God has a plan for their life. To see that God has something for them if they will open themselves up to it. Now, don't get me wrong. Everybody that's bound is not going to just accept what you have to say. But there's some that will. Because there's some people that don't want to do better. There's some people that don't want to be free. Let's move on. That's good preaching, Pastor. Amen. Thank you, brother. I got to amen myself. You know, the Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord. I feel like that this morning. Let's move on. God said, Jabez, there's something on the inside of you. We can't allow man's labels to determine God's plan for our lives. You know, nobody even thought to call David to meet with a prophet. He was alienated by his own family. Jesse called for all of David's, the prophet called for Jesse to bring all of his sons in, and they brought them all in except for David. Can you imagine how that hurt David's feelings? That his own family said he's not worthy to even be called to stand before the prophet. All of the other sons were there, and the prophet had to ask Jesse, are these all your sons? Can you imagine how that made David feel? Man, I don't even get called into the house. I don't even get recognized as a son of my father. And when the prophet said, are these all your sons? Jesse spoke up and said, they're still the youngest David, but he's out in the field keeping the sheep. What do you want with him? And the prophet said, go get him. We won't sit down until he comes. And when David walks in, God said, that's him, anointing. When everybody else saw a shepherd boy, when everybody else saw something not even worthy to be called as a son, God said, there's my king. God said, there's a man after my own heart. See how it works? God said, there's one of the greatest kings that Israel's ever had. There's a man that I'm going to pull Jesus out of his loins. Oh, my God. There's a man that nobody thought to even ask him to come to the table. And God said, there's the one I want. We got to be so careful that we don't get locked in the routine of writing people off because we don't think they're the right material. They're not made of the right stuff. Well, they don't look like a preacher. I don't look like a preacher. About 95% of the time, I don't act like a preacher. It's the anointing, guys. It takes over. Hey, there's not, who says what a preacher's supposed to look like? Oh, they got to wear a three-piece suit, have that jet black hair, slick back. Me and Brother Cecil are out of look. Brother Austin can still pull it off with some dye. Me and Brother Cecil, we just out of luck. Oh, a preacher has to look like this, and he has to act like this, and he has to have his entourage. He's got to be escorted to the pulpit. He's got to have somebody to stand behind him and wipe his sweat. If I get to the point I'm too lazy to wipe my own sweat, y'all get rid of me. Ooh, I've struck some nerves this morning. We got in our mind what a preacher's supposed to look like, or what a Christian's supposed to look like, or what a youth leader's supposed to look like, or what a song leader's supposed to look like, or what people on the stage supposed to look like, or what people coming to our church supposed to look like. And we miss out on God because we have this checklist of how we want people to be and how we want them to act before we'll receive what they have. But what if Jesus shows up in our church as a hobo? And we're like, ooh, can't sit by him. He's kind of smelly. What is he doing here? Y'all, security team, keep an eye on him. He's probably going to try to steal something. It's just common. That's what we do. Who is this guy? What is he doing here? He just walked up from nowhere. We better watch him. People come in the church going, who is that guy who invited him to church? Think about it. That's just stuff that we automatically do. But wonder if it was Jesus walking in. And we've got these notions of oh, my gosh, I can't believe that person's here. I can't believe that preacher gets up and preaches without a suit on. It's Sunday morning. You're supposed to wear a tie. It's this and this and this. And we get these preconceived notions of what is expected. And I've asked people before, where's the biblical background for that? I got into one of the biggest debates. I usually don't debate on Facebook, but I got in one of the biggest debates on Facebook I've ever got in because somebody said, well, so-and-so wants to come to church, but they don't have any church clothes. And I asked the question. I said, what is church clothes? Clothes is clothes. My God, I don't care if you show up in shorts and flip-flops as long as you're in church. And people begin to question, well, I'll go buy them some church clothes. And I'm like, what is church clothes? Well, all they got is jeans and T-shirts. I'm going to go buy them some church clothes. And I'm sitting here like, what in the world is church clothes? And I started getting hammered because I asked her, well, you're supposed to put your best on when you go to church. I was like, okay, so you wear your best clothes but bring your worst attitude. Ooh. That's why I don't debate much on Facebook. I get defriended and blocked and all kind of stuff. Let me move on. I'm getting ready to close. Nobody thought to call David. They labeled him as a shepherd. They labeled him as a shepherd boy. And Jabez prayed. He said, Lord, bless me and enlarge my coast. The definition of limit is something that bounds, restrains, or confines. When Jabez prayed, he said, "Lord, enlarge my coast." He was speaking of his boundaries in his life. "Lord, help me to be more open. God, help me to take off the limitations in my life. God, help me to see the good in people again." Because it's real easy to get to the point that all you see is the bad in people. Especially in law enforcement. Especially when you deal with people or in child protective services and things like that. It gets to the point that you can only see the bad in people. Why? Because you see that over and over and over again. But God, help me to open my mind that I can once again see hope for people. That I can see the good in people. Jabez, Lord, help me take the limitations off my thinking. God, help me take the limitations off of what I can do and what I can't do. God, let me have a limitless vision because you're a limitless God. God, help me to not be so small-minded and so closed-minded that I miss out on what you're doing. Jabez said, help me take the limits off. Help me take the limits off. There's many people today that are saved, filled with the Spirit, but they're really not doing anything for God because they found themselves within these limitations. Well, I'll do this if I'm asked. But don't ask me to do this. I can't handle that. And I understand that. Well, I don't want to work with kids. They get on my nerves. Well, I don't want to do this. I don't like getting up in front of people. I don't want to be involved. And we limit ourselves. Well, I just don't want to be part of this group because last time I did that and I began to trust people, I got burned. Guess what? It's life. You're probably going to get burned again. It's going to happen when we deal with people. But we have to trust that God is God and that he's going to continue to lead us. And not everybody's going to accept what you're trying to do, and you got to be okay with that. That's why they told us in the Bible, says, when you go into a town and they receive you not, shake the dust off your feet and keep walking. Hey, it's not your job of what they do with it. It's your job to carry it. We're carriers. We're carriers. We're carriers of the gospel. The way we live, the way we act, the way we talk, the way we treat people. Hey, we are marked with the mark of Jesus Christ. We represent him at all times in the way we act, the way we treat people, the way we talk, the places we go, the things we do. We're a reflection of Jesus Christ. And so many people today give a limited reflection of Jesus. Well, if you look the part, oh, we can talk about the Lord. Oh, if you look like this and you look like that, we can talk about the Lord. It's like I said last week, me and Matt were in a shop and this guy was just cursing and saying all kind of things and all that, and then he began to ask us what we do, and Matt said, well, I'm a cop, and he looked at me and said, what do you do? I said, well, I'm a cop and a pastor. He said, oh, you're a preacher. And all of a sudden, we began to be able to open up and minister to him. We could have labeled him by like, oh, this filthy mouth dude, I'm going to just get up and walk away. I don't even want to have nothing to do with him. By the time we got through talking with him, the guy said, I may come visit y'all at church. Hey, you never know when you can take the limits off. Did I care for him cursing up a storm? Well, not really. Hey, but we got to quit being offended when sinner folks sin. Does it bother me when a sinner sins? Absolutely not, because what do you expect? They're going to sin. Well, how can you hang out with all these people talking nasty and talking ugly? Because I want to be the light of Jesus to them. Hey, God didn't call us to. And get to the point that if all you ever want to hang out with is saved folks, how are you going to lead anybody to Jesus? My Lord. I'd much rather hang out with hardcore sinners than some religious folks. Why? Because at least you know what to expect. And I got some people saying amen silently. Because they know the truth. Praise you, Pastor. We've got to be willing to take the limits. And Jabez said, Lord, bless me. Enlarge my coast. Help me take the limits off. Help me take the limits off my life. And he said, and keep me from evil, that it grieve me not. This means keep me from sin, but also keep me from evil people. There are people out there that will grieve you. There are people out there that wear the name of Christian, but they are evil people. Hello? You know me, I'm just real with it. Just because they say they're a Christian and they want to shout and dance does not mean that they are of God. I'm sorry, just because their name is on the church roll, there are evil people out there. There are evil people in the church. He said, Lord, keep me from this, that it grieve me not. But guess what? Even if I do get grieved, I'm going to still follow you. Lord, even if I do get ridiculed, I'm going to still follow you. Even if people prove to be not what they said they are, I'm going to still follow you. God, even if it hurts, I'm going to still follow you. God, even if it costs me everything, I'm going to still follow you. God, if they leave me, I still trust you. God, if they walk away from me, I still trust you. God, if they reject me and they don't even want to call me to the table, I still trust you. God, if I have to walk this road alone, I still trust you. Guys, I've had friends come and go through the years. I've had people tell me that they would be with me till the Lord come back. And now I don't even hardly talk to them. You've got to take the limits off of your life and say, God, I'm pursuing you. And my challenge to you today in this upcoming year in 2019 is to say, God, I'm taking the limits off. God, the limitations that I've placed on myself, God, the limitations that other people have placed on me, I'm taking them off, and I'm going to be everything that you want me to be. I'm going to do everything that you want me to do. Nothing's going to hold me back this year. And when you begin to do that, just like Jabez, God will grant your request. And then buckle up and hold on for the ride. Because when you ask God to take the limits off of you, he's going to challenge them. He's going to put you around people and around things that's going to stretch you. Did anybody have a Stretch Armstrong growing up? That was that little doll that was, you could see how far you could stretch it without it breaking. Sometimes God will stretch you right to your breaking point. He'll push you right to your breaking point. But if you keep holding on, you're going to reap those benefits of doing what God told you to do. You're going to see God take you places that you never dreamed you could go. Would you stand with me over the house?